there, and welcome to Cutting Education. I'm Wendy Sanders, also known on the Twitter as Kenya75.
And I'm Jake Duncan. I'm Duncan Bilingual on the Twitters also.
And we're going to talk to you tonight about some really cool stuff we found on the internet. Let's start off by talking about, I'm going to take this first one because I like this one. I'm going to talk about, although all these apps, I have to say, or most of these things are things that you told me about. Let's talk about Voxer for a little bit. Jake told me about Voxer probably about 2 months ago, I think, or so. I think about 2 months ago. Anyway, Voxer is an app that is basically like a walkie-talkie app, and I really see it being used possibly in education for different cool things where teachers might use it for podcasts and things like that. But basically, you open it up and you can add people to different chats. And the cool thing is you can have more than one person. So if I want to do a chat with one person, I can, or I can open up to multiple people. So a lot of people can be a part of the conversation, but there's this really cool thing on it where you swipe across to the left and it gives you the little, is there a name for that icon with the box and it has the arrow jumping out? Is there a name for that?
I call it the share.
Oh, the share, okay. Anyway, it shows up with the share button and it allows you to tweet it or mail it. I think you can copy it to your clipboard too. I'm going to look on my phone real quick to see actually what it does, but
Yeah, you can copy to clipboard. It's got Facebook, Twitter, text, email, and copy the link to the clipboard.
Yeah, I just, when I saw that, though, now it says preparing message, but when I saw that, I started to just think outside the box and think about all the cool stuff that we can do, and actually that's what I'm going to be presenting on at an upcoming regional conference in November, is using Voxer as an educational tool, and I kind of have my list going already of all the stuff I want to do with it. I was even talking to my librarian, and I might do this with my after-school club, but I was talking to my librarian, and he wants to do, like, audiobook reports for Voxer. So.
Very cool. I keep telling you I want to hear more and more about this, because I feel like I'm bragging that way, but I've used Voxer with my students a lot for a while now. When I think I sent you a screenshot of the first one that
a student
found me, because it automatically finds everyone in your contacts.
Right.
So I started seeing when all of the students of mine that had joined, whenever they join, it lets me know if I have any of their information in my phone. So it'll send me a Vox saying, this kid of yours is now on Voxer. And then they'll see the same thing. So when they start Voxing me, they'll say, hey, what's up, and stuff like that.
When you started using it, though, were you in high school? Were you teaching high school?
Or was junior in high school?
No, not you. Were you teaching high school, or were you teaching, like, middle school?
I was teaching 7th and 8th graders and high school, actually.
Okay. Because, I mean, the ramifications of, like, the terms of use are different, you know, especially if you're teaching kids that are 13 years or older. But for me, in elementary, I've started to think about, you know, how I can do stuff like that. And, I'm thinking of the kids that I would be using it with. They would be using my account. So, basically, they would be creating things like podcasts and audiobook reports and just different ideas for that. They would be doing those only in my account. So they wouldn't be like Voxing each other. They would just be sharing what they're doing either by tweet or by emailing it, you know, or things like that.
Yeah, well, I think that's awesome, because it's also such a powerful communication tool. I mean, the whole idea that you can send pictures or talk, or when you can't talk, you can go ahead and text.
Yeah.
That it's immediate. If you have it on, you do have to be careful about making sure that the volume's turned down, or you can walk down the hallway and start hearing people's voxes to you. But it also, they have a pay feature.
And oh, yeah?
Just because I love it. They have a pay feature. I think it's $30 a year where you can get all of these unlimited features. One of them, I think, is that you can add groups of people up to 500 people.
Yeah.
which seems incredible to me.
They do have one, though, for business, too. I started looking at their website. They do have a business side. But I emailed them, and I would love for Voxer to have an educational branch, you know. I think that'd be cool, you know. I don't know. I think it would be cool, but
yeah, well, and I think I told you I'm not sure about the one that's – because that I like things that have multiple uses, that instead of having lots of separate apps that can do essentially the same kind of thing but have a different focus, I like the idea of using those for basically mini podcasts, for book reviews and stuff like that. I'd also used one before. I think we talked about Audioboo. That I'm a big fan of using Audioboo for that. That those have a 3-minute limit, I believe. It's still a 3-minute limit. But I like that because you can add the location and add a picture for it. But why use something else if you don't need to? That this is something that you already use anyway. And I think it's an awesome communication tool. Mm-hmm. So why use things that you don't have to use if something you have can do it?
Is Audioboo an app or is it web-based?
It's web and an app. It's cross platforms.
Okay.
What's the word that I like to use? Device agnostic.
Yes, you would be proud of me. I actually said that today, and I think my CT looked over at me like I think he was thinking, "What? Like, how do you know that term?"
That's awesome.
Yeah, I must have heard that from you. I think that's one of those terms I started using because of you. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I guess I have it linked to my Twitter also, so now whenever people start following on Twitter that have it, then I've also got, you know, they also show up on Voxer too. So I've got a couple parents that started following our Twitter account.
Wow.
And then they showed up also. And then there are, every now and then there's somebody that I don't know who shows up, and I'm like, I'm not really sure who this person is. But you can also block people on Voxer too. Voxer's a pretty powerful tool. I really think that it's an awesome communication tool. And I really sort of overlooked it for the longest time until iPad Sammy got on it.
Right.
And he started voxing everyone all the time. And
I do like it because I do feel like it can do, even though like I do have the text feature where I can do voice text and things like that on my iPhone, I just like Voxer. I mean, it's so easy. It's just so easy to use. You just press down the button and you talk, and it's just easy. I just love it for that reason. But even if I didn't use it for anything else but to talk to people, my mom and I use it now. I got her on it finally, and she doesn't love it, I don't think, but she'll use it with me, and I think it's easier for her instead of texting a bunch, you know. But anyway.
You know what I'd like to see more of? I know we're talking an awful lot about Voxer, but I really do like it too. They had a contest on the International Talk Like a Pirate Day. And
yeah.
They had their own specific email that you could go add that to, and they had a contest for just give us a Vox where you talk like a pirate. And so at the end of the day, I had talked like a pirate all day in class. I had taught like a pirate and talked like a pirate at the same time. And so my voice was kind of killing me, but I just told them what we did that day. And it was, I didn't win anything, but I wanted to win some cool Voxer gear. So I tried it, but if they had some more, or you could host your own contests like that, just have a Voxer account through something else and invite people to add you on Voxer, because you can become public, so you can really find anybody if you want to be public.
Oh, wow.
So you can run contests that way and just let students, I mean, that could be a lot of fun. Give us your best book review of this story, or give us the best quote from the story as the character, try to read it in that character's voice, or so many awesome things you could do, and that doesn't have to be limited to your school.
I think that would be awesome. I like that idea. I like the idea of, like, using a book character and speaking like they would, especially in high school and junior high. Those would be great things for some novels that people are doing. So, even in fourth, fifth grade. But
oh, yeah, they could have fun with that. So, I think the next thing, well, I think you wanted to talk about that, too, although I see lots of question marks, like, are you sure? It's one of my favorite things that I used to do to people all the time to sort of encourage some search skills. And yeah. I'm a huge fan of the whole Google Power Searching courses. I have like two certifications up in my room, and those are the ones that I'm most proud of. I don't even have my diplomas in my room, my master's degree or any of that. I've got Google Power Searcher and then Advanced Google Power Searching course that I've completed those two. Those are, I think, two of the best things as far as what kids need to know. They need to learn to be able to search much better. And I think those courses were great for it. My favorite MOOC, probably. So the tool is, let me Google that for you. It's lmgtfy.com. And so it basically will create a video of the computer searching whatever it is that you'd like to enter, and it will send that video to someone who has a question for you. If they ask a question for you that's sort of a silly question, you can respond back. You just go to let me Google that for you. You Google it, and then it will, you can send them the video that shows how to Google the answer to that question. So it may seem a little bit mean, and sometimes it can be. Like, I will be in class, and I will beg Twitter to, like, give me a response for something. Like, what's the best tool for this? Please help now. Please don't let me Google that for you. But people are generally pretty nice, and they don't do that often. But I do think it's a great tool to sort of model what we should be doing. We have, I'm sure, tech people more than anyone else have lots of people ask them the silliest questions ever, and it's Googleable. We talk a lot so much about un-Googleable questions that we need to recognize what is a Googleable question. So many things are, and without even needing skills, you can just copy-paste in questions, which is a horrible search skill, but you can still do that and you'll find the answer. So I think that it's a lot of fun for me to do that to people every now and then, to give them a hard time, but I like to try and help people out and give them a good answer too. But I think that it works, and it shows you the results, and you can check to see if it works. If the results show the thing that they should be looking for and the answer to their question, then you know that your search worked, so you could send them that video. What do you think?
I do. I think you were wondering if I was awake, weren't you? I think this has become like my motto, LMGTFY, because this year in my job, I mean, I've just learned that you can Google anything. I've had so many questions this year, and a lot of them I've asked you, but it's just so easy to Google something. And I know that, yeah, you don't always have to, I don't know what I'm trying to say. You don't have to necessarily use the Let Me Google That Let Me Google That For You app. But I think just like what you're talking about is the Google searching. I think that's just really, 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 really important to teach kids, is that research fluency. And I think the thing about LMGTFY is you have to be careful who you use it with, because you don't want to shame people, and it can be kind of shaming if they, yeah, they don't always, yeah.
It's sort of akin to my main reason that I encourage people to use canned responses in Gmail, is that the first time you respond to a certain question, you write a wonderful response, and then the 10th, 13th, 15th, 20th time that you get the same question, your response is a little more curt, maybe, might be a good way to put it. So
right,
I say
right,
that, you know,
right.
I say if you anticipate getting the same question often, then create a canned response in Gmail for it, or create a screencast for it using any of those tools. But I think that it really does encourage people to make use of the tools that they have. The rule for, I guess they use it a lot in the PBL stuff, in the Buck Institute stuff, that you ask three before me. By the way, it's my favorite of those apps, except for the fact that it's just an iPad-only app, and it's not on web, or doesn't let me do it through iPhone, which I understand. But anyway, of those whiteboard tools. Because it does, it's the rule is that students have to ask three people before they can ask me something, because they need to make use of the people available, like, to learn to cooperate, to collaborate together. And somebody probably heard the answer to the question that you're asking. And I know that it sounds very teachery of me that I get Mr. Duncan, Mr. Muck, and Mr. Duncan about 50 times a period out of my 7 periods a day with my 175, 76 kids. But I think that it's true. I think that we need to, that they will do that. You can't let kids do that. So, I mean, I definitely think so. That's a great way to do that. So I think that's a great thing.
Yep. All right.
I feel like I'm letting you talk about everything, but I'm talking more. But I think that the next thing that we would like to talk about, we really do have so many things that you see how many things that I put in the little notes here about stuff I'd like to talk about. Can I just jump to something else besides
please,
this next one?
Please jump to something else. Jump to something that's very, very exciting that you want to share, that you're dying, that you can't wait till the next podcast to share.
Well, maybe we'll hear more, but Hangouts, the fact that Google Hangouts is really becoming just a better app in general, that you can share, okay, because you can share GIFs that work in line. That's not exactly the reason, but I'm a GIF person. I'm very awful that way. But now that Hangouts will do regular phone calls, so it seems like it's replacing Google Voice, and I think there was a little bit of talk of that. But
yeah.
So you can do international calls through Hangouts. Basically, Hangouts is becoming more all-encompassing. There's a lot more to it. So just lots of Google awesomeness this week with Hangouts. And also with Google Docs now allowing you to write on the screen as an option. I have not seen this in the iOS app, which I am very much looking forward to for iPads, to allow students to use it. I think I posted about how I'd like to use it like Penultimate or like Notability to be able to write on the screen as the doc rather
right.
than using Draw, something like that. But that still has me pretty excited, especially for students who are from other countries who speak Hmong or something like that and they'd like to translate. I think that that's just fantastic that you can do that. And then the other thing in Docs is that you can use the search in Gmail and in or that you could write on the screen in Gmail and in Docs, but you can use the search box in Help to perform tasks without having to go look in the menu for things. So if I want to add a picture, I don't need to click on the file, insert, image, or click on the little icon for image, although that would be easier. But I can just use search and type in insert image, and that's going to come up. Anything I'm looking for, I really don't have to look for anymore. I just go to Help to do it. Kind of a neat, nifty little trick. That
cool.
was sounded like a rant. I'm sorry.
I'm sitting here taking it all in, taking in all the knowledge as you spew it out. Can you explain to me though? Because I feel like you're really techie. Can you explain to me about the GIF thing? I'm still kind of stuck on that. Like, what exactly can you, what is a GIF and what can you do with it, or what is it that's great about it for Hangouts?
Okay, nothing really. It's very old school of me. And the internet's going to get mad at me if we put this out there and I'm saying that I don't know that people like prefer to pronounce it as a GIF, then they will ream me, but I like GIF. GIF is the peanut butter, so let the hate mail ensue. But they are just the motion pictures, motion images. So you can use them on your Twitter. You can use them on Twitter for your profile pictures, and those work. But you couldn't send an animated GIF through Hangouts before and have that actually work as a GIF. It would just be the take one screenshot from that, take one still.
Okay.
From the animation. But I really do think there's some awesome stuff. It's almost like there are so many of these stop-motion tools that are just awesome, and people are using Vine to do some awesome stop-motion stuff that you can make those into GIFs. So I think that there really is some cool stuff that could be done educationally with those. And it's so short and sweet that just getting, instead of one still image, I don't think still images are going to be, I mean, I love photography, but in 10 years, why would images be still? Why wouldn't everything be video if possible? Just wherever you are. So I know that it is a very an old thing that people really used to love to do that, and people hate that about that Facebook didn't let you have that, and then some people love that it would not let you, and now I believe they do everything that Google Plus does now, Facebook does. But
right.
Google Plus has always had animated GIFs, and so there are great illusions that you could put that way. Just so many things. I really feel awful saying how much I love GIFs, but I think that there's some cool stuff that you can do with them.
I think I know what you're talking about now, I'm thinking about like the old Microsoft, the old Microsoft Office back in the day when we had that thing called Microsoft Office, and you could like you can search like to insert different clip art, and then one of the things are like the I think those are GIFs. I think that's what it is. I don't know. Anyway, moving on. What's next?
Flux?
Yeah, you want me to talk
Just
about
Get
Flux?
Flux?
You want me to talk about that?
Sure.
Okay, because it is, this is one of those things, another one of those things that you told me about that I absolutely love. The website is Just Get Flux, FLUX, and it's actually, it is f.lux, right? When you write it, when it shows up.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so but the website, the web address is Just Get Flux, and basically what it does is a download, and you can put it on your Mac, you can put it on your PC. Do you have it on your Chromebook?
No, I don't have it on my
You can
Chromebook.
put it on your Chromebook because it's right, because it's has to be a download, right?
Right, which is the only bad thing, but it's so worth it.
Yeah, and if you have a jailbroken iPhone, you can put it on that too, but I absolutely love it. You download it, and basically, it changes the color of your screen so it's not that bright blue at night. So, like, it knows the time of day it is, and it adjusts your computer screen. So, like, right now, it's 9, 10 o'clock now, and whenever, like, sunset is, I can see my screen visually, like, I don't know how to explain it, but it just like tones it down. It's not like that blaring, glaring blue. And I feel like it really helps me at night too, because I've been doing a lot of work in the evenings for my new job, and I feel like it just makes me a little more mellow before
Right, it's
bed.
calming. It's
It
awesome. And I think that it's
totally.
I think there's some
Yeah.
science behind it that it helps you sleep better.
I think you're right. I think you're right, because I think I did read that somewhere about it, like why you should use it. And I think it has helped me a lot. I really do. But I mean, yeah, it changes it back during the day, so it's the regular bright screen during the day. But you can also adjust it to certain. It has certain levels you can adjust on it. So if you want it to be really, really, really dull, kind of, you can. Or you can turn it to brighter if you need it to be brighter. But I will say that kind of goes along with this thing my at school in our office, the office that I share, we kind of started not turning on the light during the day. Like, we have a window in our room and we have some blinds, so we kind of crack the blinds so when it starts to get the sun comes up, we can get some light in our room. But we basically keep the fluorescent lights off because they're just so awful for you. I mean, and it to me it kind of goes along with that same thing for Flux. Like, it just makes you feel better. Like, you know, fluorescents can give migraines and all this other stuff. And I brought a lamp to school, which I don't know if I'm supposed to have, but you can edit this part out. Anyway, so I have a lamp, or you can not edit it out. It doesn't matter to me. I have a lamp at school, and we keep that on. It's pretty low. And anyway, so those things that make your life happier, that make a person in a better mood, I like those types of apps too. So anyway, that's
Yeah,
Just
I
Get
think it's made the
Flux.
biggest difference for me. I probably should be on my computer more often, but I'm very mobile. I'm very mobile. Not that I am. I need to be more mobile. But it's made the biggest difference for me on my iPod. I don't have my new phone jailbroken, but I don't even know if there is a jailbreak for. I'm sure there is for iOS 7. But I've got my oldest iPod Touch. That is, and it makes the biggest difference for me whenever I'm out somewhere or I'm outside, and then somebody else has a phone, and I see the brightness shine up on their face and then
Wow.
mine. It's gorgeous. It is very calming. It's worth a download, and to me, that means a lot if something is actually worth having a download on your computer and running something. And it runs in the background, so it'll load for you, and like you said, it just cuts on automatically. It's this sort of nice pinkish glow that your screen turns instead of just being that bright, brilliant white. And I think people, I've seen a lot of testimonials from people whenever I was checking it out. People who have had it for a while and then get on a computer at night, it will drive them insane. They'll get headaches, and it's, I don't know that that's a good thing, that it's so wonderful that if you're on a regular computer, it will drive you nuts after a while. But I think that it's a really just awesome. Love that.
It's a good one. That's one of my favorite. I mean, really, I tell like everyone about Flux, but I don't, yeah. Some people just don't care, so.
Should we go ahead and do the weekly segment?
Do it.
Move on to that? Okay, so I don't have the effects loaded. But it is time for You're Doing It Wrong, my favorite segment of the show. And this one is sort of a shout-out to my students this week. And it has to do with, with Edmodo posts. Mostly my Edmodo posts and hijacking my threads.
Curses.
Yes, yeah, I told them that, and I teach mainly in Spanish, and they're sixth grade students, so they probably are not familiar with, you know, that lexicon, that jargon, but I tell them, quit hijacking my threads, and then I explain it to them, but make your own post. If you have something to say, they continue still, which makes me feel a little bit cool that I have a post on Edmodo that's got about 100 replies and comments, but they all get those notifications. They're sent to everybody. So they don't create a new post to say something different. They will just continue to respond to the same post, and only a very small number of those comments have anything to do with what the post originally. I forget what the posts were at one point.
Right.
But so that's to students. And there's got to be some sort of cute sign to put up for that. Just quit hijacking my threads, man. But on the Edmodo post, they will just reply rather than ever create a new post to the group. And they could even send them, I mean, they're even allowed to send messages. So they're sending me messages. I get a lot of the direct messages from them, which I think is great because they don't want to send it to everyone. But they can feel free to do so. That's what it's there for. They don't need to just post on my stuff. So that's it. They're really excited about Edmodo. I've been really pumped to get to use 3D Game Lab this year with my kids, but our school is pushing Edmodo with everyone. And just because I paid for 3D Game Lab, so I want to use it. But I have one student too many for what I've paid for. But they want to get everybody using Edmodo, and the kids haven't been allowed. They haven't used anything like this before, so they have zero digital citizenship skills. They don't know. I mean, it's not Facebook, but they're not that they treat it like Facebook either. But because they're not mean to each other, at least. But they've just never been taught any of these things. So I'm very big on saying that we've got to, not just saying, but hopefully providing some modeling for them for how to use these things and to show them. And I really haven't done that an awful lot. I need to do that more. But we have to teach them now. And my kids are sixth graders, so it's really tough. I feel like a lot of the high school kids have really sort of, it's really hard to unlearn things. So I think we need to teach them from first, second grade how to be good digital citizens. And I don't even like saying digital citizens anymore because it's really, this is their lives. So this is just citizenship for them. It's not even digital citizenship anymore. I'm getting a little tired of hearing about digital citizenship when this is the world that these kids are growing up in. It's just citizenship. That's my rant part too, sorry.
Right, for them, yeah. I liked that rant, that was good. Can I kind of piggyback on now, can I hijack your post?
Why not?
Can I piggyback on what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm going to hijack your post right now, ready, go. While you were talking about that, I was thinking of one that is kind of a similar thing, and it's something else that it's You're Doing It Wrong is the same thing when you send out an email to someone and it says, you know, like Chris, it's entitled Christmas Party, and then, you know, you send it out, and then they email you a different whole new message, but they don't. And I think that even that, maybe we need to teach our teachers a little better about email etiquette. That's one of those email etiquette things, but no one has ever been taught that. So they just get a lot of emails. I'm popular. What can I say?
But, oh, I agree completely. I mean, I really am.
You're bad about it?
No, I'm worse about it.
You
I
do
have
this
more
thing?
Of a pet peeve than even
are
that.
You saying,
even,
wait, are you? You're although, not saying that you actually do this,
no,
right?
No, although I'm saying I love celebrations, but I really am worse about
right.
having this pet peeve, is that somebody will send out one, just, you know, congratulations to the debate team for, you know, winning district. You got first place and you move on to region. And then somebody will reply all just to congratulate them. And then there are five
yeah.
or six emails. Thank
right,
goodness that Google
right.
threads those, that Gmail threads those. But so really that bothers me too, that people just reply all to, like, let everyone know, broadcast that you're congratulating someone.
Right,
just,
right.
Just say congrats to the person who did it.
Yeah.
I sound bitter. What time is this?
It's 10 o'clock at night. That's why. You're grouchy now. You're starting to get grouchy.
I guess so.
Have you eaten anything lately? Maybe you're hungry. You're a guy. All right, then let's move on, right, from you're doing it wrong and go on to a Google guru tip. Is that
Yay.
Good? Yay. Yay. Let's get googly. We need a little sound effect there, I think. Let's get googly. Maybe that would be a good name for this segment. Let's get googly. I wanted to just share with you a quick thing that has really helped out some of my friends. Some of these things that I've seen in Google and learned, I feel like they've probably been there for a long time. And one day I go, oh, wow, that's there. That's so cool. And it's probably been there a long time. So you probably know this already. But basically, if you go to items that are shared with you in your Google Drive, I have something that was shared with me, show notes, and if I check the box next to it, then all of a sudden near the top of my web page, there are a whole bunch of different choices for me, and one of them is add to my drive. And I can click add to my drive, and then it's just easier to see different files and folders that show up in my drive instead of all of the hundreds of things that people have shared with me. And this has made it much easier at school, because at school we get all sorts of stuff that people share with us. Unbelievable, inordinate amounts of things.
That's, you know, I'm looking right now at, I just went to mine and clicked on something. Well, it was already there to begin with. It says add files or folders shared with you to my drive for easy access, learn more. But I didn't, I didn't.
Yeah.
So I guess, but it doesn't do the make a copy of it for you. It's still going to be a shared document, but it just shows up in my drive as well.
Right. But the good thing is, like, someone, we have a school folder, a school-wide folder, and I've shared it with everyone. So I've taught teachers that in order, like, to help them put their lesson plans in easier, they go to the shared, and then they find the school, and they click next to it, and then they add it to their, so that it's so much, that makes it easier when they're trying to copy things that have been shared with them, and they want to go back to their drive, then it's right there. It just, it's made things, I think, so much easier. I even did a screencast of it, because I felt like it was that important, and I don't know if they just put that button there recently or not, but to me it's helped tenfold.
Awesome. Cool stuff.
Anyway, do we want to wrap it up? Are we good?
Well, let's at least share the RSCon recorded videos of Ben, because I got to be
there.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
To do the gamification on a shoestring session that was a lot of fun, and that's what a lot of the stuff that my kids are doing in class this year is, we're trying to turn the class into the game. Even a lot of the physical space stuff is a lot of fun for me, and I think that the most popular thing that I've shared that has anything to do with gamification is just the text craft .NET font creator, so that you can. That seems to be the people's favorite thing, is just to make everything into Minecraft text. And that's, I say that in the presentation. I say text craft all the things, because why not? But it's a lot of fun. At the entrance to my door, it's, you know, you got the start game, the little yes or no written in the 8-bit stuff. There's a lot of cool stuff there. But so the link to the RSCon, all of the RSCon recorded sessions, if you don't know about RSCon 4, then you should go check out our reformsymposium.com and join that Future of Education name. There's going to be lots of cool stuff coming up for that more often than in the past. So that's exciting stuff. But I made a short URL at bit.ly, so it's a bit.ly/rscon4vids, all lowercase. So that'll take you directly to that Future of Education Ning page of Steve Hargadon's, which has all the links to the recorded sessions on Blackboard Collaborate. So I think that that's just awesome to have. I'm still going through all of those. I haven't gotten to watch anywhere near as many as I'd like to so far, but I've sure enjoyed the ones that I've gotten to see. And don't tell Tech Ninja Todd that I haven't gotten to see his session yet. But I watched his. Awesome. How was
that? Yeah, it was. I've watched John Samuelson's. I watched most of yours, although then I put yours on double time, and it was really good. I liked it. Listening to it in two times, I was able to understand everything, and it was just as good. And then I listened to Todd's and John's, and they were all really good. I want to listen to some more, but I actually sent those out in an email to our staff to try and encourage them. I really liked Sammy's. If you haven't listened to his, did you listen to his, didn't you?
I did listen to his.
His was really good. Really, I mean, I think that's just, you know, changing mindset.
Why is that surprising, though? John's awesome.
He was. He's really good, so.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we should have like a 1-minute blast of all of these things that I wanted to talk about, and I probably won't want to talk about next week, but...
Why won't you want to talk about them next week?
Well, because there's going to be so much new stuff all the time.
In the next week, there's
so many things that are just...
Well, why do we have to create... I mean, I feel like we need to create something, like create a Pinterest board or create a blah, blah, blah board or, you know...
Right. My thing is deciding on those. Don't say. I mean, okay. I'm a guy, and so I know that that's going to cost some more stuff. But the Pinterest thing is, you can't move pins around. What is wrong with them? Come on, Pinterest.
Maybe you need to email them and tell them to fix that or something. You know.
Yeah. Well, I'll get on that. I'll do that.
Because you have time. Have your secretary do it for you.
Absolutely. That bothers me. Why does that bother me so much? Like, let me move my pins around. Let me order them however I'd like. Sorry.
I didn't know you were on Pinterest. Actually, I didn't know you were even on Pinterest. Should I be following you?
No, you shouldn't.
Okay. I won't follow you on Pinterest then.
Okay.
All right. You want to just talk about, real quick, like two or three more things that you liked? What is this one here?
Hey, we can always cut stuff off if we want to and take it out of this and if we get tired of it. But yes, that one, well, Dispatch, it was disappointing to me, but it was good news that I liked Dispatch was sort of a way to avoid email to working on projects and things like that. They became a part of Meetup. They were bought out by Meetup this week. So that's sort of a going away kind of thing. Get your stuff off Dispatch if you're on Dispatch. Ping, what was Ping, is now Hop, and it's the new, I don't want to say the new mailbox, because they're not the new mailbox, but that's the new form of email that makes it more of a conversation, and just is supposed to make email happier. You can tell how much I hate email. But so I'm waiting for Ping, for Hop, sorry, not Ping, the same thing that Mailbox did when it came out, put you on the wait list for quite a while.
Oh,
so I'm waiting for it, so I'm excited. By the next time we talk, I'll be checking out Hop, their GitHop on Twitter. So I'm excited about that. I get excited about something that seems like cool new alternative to email, anything that's after Gmail and the ads, I'm telling you. So I'm excited about that. And then those two presentation tools that are just my favorite presentation tools right now. Emaze lets you do, it's sort of Pretty or Prezi, lets you do 3D presentations. So there's one that's flying around a city, and I'm going to take some of the New York pics and put them to show my students all on.
Oh, that's cool.
Just add them onto the bulletin boards, and so you sort of zoom around the city with that one. I really like that one. Not all of them are great, but that one's a really nice one. And Buncee does everything. Buncee's a great presentation tool. It's just a really cool new one. They actually have an app called Buncee Bits that's just sort of a simple photo editor, it seems like. But Buncee is just pretty awesome for everything. I think they're probably going to work on their audio a little bit. They let you import stuff from SoundCloud and search SoundCloud to find it.
Yeah.
But it's very cool stuff. There's so much just awesomeness right now. Those aren't all brand new things. Buncee's been around for a while, but they were apparently, it seems like they were bought by Rackspace, which has done something awesome to them that they've getting a lot of, there's a lot of talk about Buncee out there on the internet now. So Emaze is the awesome for 3D stuff. It's very cool. And Buncee is just great for all kinds of presentations. So right on. That's my blast of stuff out there, except for your favorite you showed me that has already had me wasting lots and lots of time. You know which one I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Okay, Full Screen Mario.
Oh, yeah.
I even let my kids, after school, we use my Leap, our Leap Motion, and so they're moving their hands around to play Full Screen Mario, and they lift your hand up to jump. It's the coolest thing ever.
Oh, that is cool.
Yes.
You need to take, like, video of that and share it with me, because I'd like to see stuff like that.
That's my big problem as a teacher, is that I'm just so involved in all of this stuff. I need somebody to follow me around and make a documentary crew.
We need to do a reality show or something. I know someone in video production.
But it's true. I never take pictures. I never do video because I'm always just sort of doing it, and I never sort of step back to just do that. I need to do that much more often. It kind of bothers me when I think about it that I don't do that enough.
You do, because you could be sharing that. You could be sharing those things with... Yeah, you really do. I'm going to start bugging you about that more.
Don't start bugging me about it, but...
Okay. I'll send you a reminder. I'll start sending you reminders. Don't forget. No, just kidding. I think
so many of us get that way, that we just get too wrapped up in what we're doing. We forget to just do, you know, savor it. You know, take it in a little bit.
To record
a minute of somebody doing something. We want to participate. We don't just step back. And that has to do with everything, you know, with teaching and all aspects of teaching. Step back a little more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, I'm gonna take the closing here, friend. Is that okay? Are you good?
Absolutely.
I just want to share, even though it's late still, I just want to share with people and encourage people and inspire people to make your learning self-directed. You know, we tell our kids, we want our kids to take ownership of their learning. And I really want to encourage educators to learn what you want to learn about. I just joined a MOOC, a massive open online course about the zombie apocalypse, because that's something I'd like to learn about. And I am taking control of my learning, not just about the zombie apocalypse, but I do like zombies quite a bit. But anyway, thanks for joining us tonight.